We've had bulldozer drivers ringing us over the last couple of months, very distressed, which is terrific of them. And yes, and we actually did predict that this would happen when the blue gums were put in many, many years ago. And those of your listeners who remember Rolf, who used to work for our organisation in Ballarat, he actually pulled a whole stack of blue gum companies together, and we did a research project and recommended some harvesting rules all those years ago. And watching that TV last night made me so angry that everyone ignored those recommendations that we put in place.
Just how big is the problem, Deborah? Can you put it in some context? Do we know how many animals are being killed or seriously injured as this harvest goes on?
Well, this is, you can't scientifically do it. And I want to say, if those women are listening, the carers who, you know, whistle blow, if you like, they're very brave women, because the Victorian government will be not happy with them. And what I've seen across my 25-year career is that people like that can lose their caring licences for speaking out. So I hope the Victorian government won't punish these women. Look, I know for a fact that I'm being told that at least 21 in one compartment, including a mother and a joey and with the broken back. So that's what I heard several weeks ago.
Okay. This has been going on, to the best of your knowledge, for how long? Well, as long as the harvest has been going on?
Well, I think this is the thing, you know, and I did actually send an email to one of the harvesting companies yesterday and said, look, you know, get on top of this. And I did speak to them several weeks ago as well. If these companies wanted to do the right thing, there are ways to get around this, to minimise this. I mean, and what was saddened to me also, to see these blue gum plantations going up in smoke, surely there's something better than just burning them and creating greenhouse gases and whatever. I mean, just because it's a financial disaster for the companies, surely there's better ways to manage the harvesting and also protecting the biodiversity of Australia. I mean, it just seems a joke to me. And but everyone just goes to ground, and this is my experience over 25 years. And, you know, and it's also what I want to say too, and get it on the public record, is that I believe this is why Minister Burke did not protect the koalas in Victoria when the koala was protected in 2012. The Victorian government absolutely refused to accept the koalas in Victoria needed protection. So even if I ring the new minister today in Canberra and go, what the heck, he'll go, oh, Deborah, well, they're not protected in Victoria, it's a management issue. So I'm really glad that the Australian public are now aware of the cruelty perpetrated on Victorian koalas, and have been for many years.
What needs to happen then, Deborah, do you believe?
Well, you know, where I'm at after all these years is I want a new piece of legislation that says basically this is an important icon, and, you know, if you can't find respect for a koala that brings $2.5 billion worth of tourism to your shores, then we might as well give up in the environment. But, look, number two, this is a question of logging prescriptions. It's just, you know, making sure that we actually recommended that between each plantation there was a biodiversity shelter kept for long term, so that you could harvest your trees, keep the koalas and the wildlife safe during the logging regime, and then plant again. How difficult is that? That was in a recommendation in that document 15 years ago, and they've just ignored it because they say things like, well, you know, that will cost us more. What's the public relations cost to them now today? I bet they're all sitting in a coffee shop somewhere in Melbourne pulling their hairs out. You know, this is what I find so frustrating too, is that over many years I have traipsed into Canberra, traipsed into Victorian ministers, and they just close the door on you. They're never looking for solutions. They just allow industry to go about their bullish way, and I'm glad that that day's been ruined today, because to being cruel to a national icon does nothing for any of us. And where are the tourist ministers? Why aren't they speaking out? How disgusting that this is going around the world. I've had more emails this morning from members around the world. How is this happening?
I was going to ask you, this is going to affect our international reputation, you believe?
Oh, my goodness. Look, you know, go on our Facebook. Go on, you know, when that koala was harvested, the bush was harvested in New South Wales, and they left this koala sitting on a pile of wood chips. Look at that. It was one of the most visual images looked at on a day on the Twitter and stuff. So, oh yeah, I think we're a laughing stock. I seriously do. And I've had an international photojournalist here from the BBC and America recently. Do you know I can almost not find her wild koalas anymore because the populations are so low? I took her to Noosa National Park, famous for koalas, and we found one in Hastings Street. So where are the tourist ministers?
Mm.
I tried to brief a tourist minister recently and she was so patronising towards me, like, you know, oh, thank you for coming, Deborah, you know, this patronising nonsense. But one day, like the Tasmanian tiger, there will be one left and everyone will go, goodness me, what happened? And last night was a classic example of that. No one respects this icon, so it will go to extinction.
We've spoken in the past about some of the problems with koala population densities in some areas and programs to try and ease the pressure on populations and bushland around that sort of area. I'm assuming from the Blue Gum Plantation there isn't a risk in Victoria to the overall koala population, because in some areas it's overpopulated, some areas underpopulated. Is that a fair assessment?
No, it isn't, because I think this is the myth that the Victorian government has wanted to perpetrate. And I've watched them in Senate inquiries and other places. There is no good science to sort of prove that's true. What you can see is dead trees. But you can see dead trees in Tasmania and there are no koalas there. This is a complex issue. And the only way to fix that is to plant more trees. The Victorian government has not planted a tree anywhere in Victoria except Blue Gum Plantation. And now look. And in fact, the Blue Gums were an absolute safe haven for the koalas because they could actually get a really good feed. And in fact, you know, our research at the time said that the koalas weren't setting up home in there. But we may have to relook at that because maybe these plantations have become such a haven that there are healthy colonies in there.
I do recall that conversation, that koalas would go in, have a feed, turn around and go back out into some
That's
of the
right.
remnant bush.
That's right. And maybe that's still the case. Who knows? But whether or not it is, those carers last night, if you saw, they were actually releasing that koala back into Mount Eccles, which is what the Victorian government used to say was one of the overpopulated areas. That says to me... And the Victorian department guy looked like a deer in headlights. And that's my experience. Everyone in Victorian government hates koalas. They hate them. So does South Australia. I was on Kangaroo Island a couple of weeks ago because I've just got an instinct that this is blowing up. And all they do is burn the trees. That's what they do in Victoria as well.
Yeah, with the plantations that have gone bankrupt, farmers are pulling them out and they are in some cases burning them, yeah.
Yes, but why wouldn't they harvest them and at least utilise the products? Where is government gave these companies these, you know, tax havens. It's time for government to say, you know what, we made a terrible mistake. We're going to help you farmers. Why is it up to the koala woman to come up with these ideas?
Mm.
I've walked to Canberra year in and year out saying these things to the bureaucrats, and again, they just are glacial in their thought processes. It's ghastly.